As we pray for her. Father, in the name of Jesus, we commit thine servant, Lord, to you, that even as she brings to us your word, O Lord, it will come and nourish our hearts in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit of the living God, take that word and sear it in our hearts, O God, that we may hear what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to us. Father, we give you praise and thank you so much for a great opportunity that you gave us to come and be in your presence. We pray this, believing and trusting in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Welcome. Thank you so much, Pastor. God bless you. God bless you. I honor you. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. And I thank God for, you know, just for the time that the Lord has given us. As you said, we've celebrated 22 years of marriage. We don't take it for granted. It has been the doing of the Lord. And we thank God because there are others who have gone on ahead of us, like me. There are others who have gone on ahead of us, and I believe that the Lord is going to continue strengthening us. And those that are behind us, we encourage you, and we ask you, you know, to be strong in the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen, amen. So as we start off, I just want you to greet your neighbor this morning. Tell them how, ask them, how are you doing this morning? Ask your neighbor, how are you doing this morning? Tell them, are you ready to receive the word of God? Welcome, thank you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I just want us to go to the book of Mark chapter 8, verse 22 to 26. Mark chapter 8, 22 to 26. Praise the name of the Lord. The Lord is good. We thank God for the time that we had in the presence of the Lord, even to exalt him and to worship him. We thank God for his presence that is here. We thank God for the Spirit of God that is here. We thank God because of Abba Father. We thank God for Jesus Christ, and he never gathers his people in vain. Even as he's prepared a table for us, let us just open up our hearts to receive from him. And let us just, you know, declare in our hearts that we don't want to go back the same as we came in, you know, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we bless you. Mark chapter 8, 22 to 26. And I'm going to ask our Pastor Julius to read for me. Amen, amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, we thank God for the word of God this day. And the Lord was putting, I was asking God, what do you want us to share, you know, this day? And the Lord put this in my heart. And, you know, I was looking at this story from the book of Mark chapter 8, verse 22 to 26. Jesus, this was just one of the miracles that the Lord did. But this was a very special miracle. And, you know, it was a miracle that did not happen. Most of the time when Jesus healed, he healed like, you know, it was just an immediate healing. But we know that in this healing, even as we have read, it was a progressive healing. And I believe that God never does anything without any reason. God never puts his word in the word of God that we read is not in the Bible for no reason. God puts it here so that we may know the works of God and that we may know what the Lord wants to do in our lives. And you know, as we read about this man from Bethsaida, the Bible says that he came, the Bible says that the Lord came to Bethsaida, meaning that he had been going around and he had been ministering. He had just come from a different place. The Bible says that, you know, he had come from ministering in other places, came to Bethsaida, and the Bethsaida, a fisher village. It was a village where fishing used to occur. It could have been like a business area where, you know, fishing was the main, you know, business that was going on there. But he came to this place, and every time that Jesus came to a specific place, he did not go to that place for no reason. He had an assignment. He had something that he had in his heart to do, and though the disciples followed him, you know, many times they did not know what was ahead, but Jesus foreknew what was going to happen. So I just want to encourage you, even as you stay in that, as you're sitting in this house, that Jesus has got a reason why you're seated in this place. Jesus has brought you in this place for a specific reason. He never gathers his people in vain, as we said. But when God calls you in, and when God calls you out, he calls you for a specific reason. And Jesus came into this specific city. And the Bible says that some people brought a blind man, and they begged Jesus to touch him. You know, the people brought him in. We do not know who this blind man was. They don't give a name of who this blind man was. And this blind man could be either one of you. But the Bible says that they brought this. These were good friends. They knew about Jesus. They heard about Jesus. And these were people who had a good welfare for this man. Because did they not have any good welfare for this man, they would have left him aside. And because he had no strength of his own, he did not have sight to know where Jesus Christ was, they would have left him along the way. But these were good friends because they brought him to Jesus. But the farthest that they could bring Jesus Christ to him was, and the Bible says that they begged Jesus to touch him. So the most that they could do, these people, was to ask Jesus to touch him. And you know, I was looking at this and I was saying, you know, God, you know, when these people brought Jesus to touch him, I was looking at it and seeing that God has a bigger purpose, you know, than touching. He has an assignment. His desire is to touch you, but he wants to do more and more. The farthest that they could take, or the man could take Jesus Christ, was at the place, or the farthest that their faith could, this man could take this man, was a place of them, of this man being touched by Jesus Christ. Yes, the only thing that they saw, you know, if I can make this clear, if the only thing that these people saw, or they needed this man to do, was to see, they did not see farther than that. But when this man was brought to Jesus, Jesus Christ saw bigger things. Jesus Christ saw greater things than this man could see. And the Bible says when they brought him to him, they only desired that Jesus Christ would touch him. They even begged that he touch him. And I thank God, because the next thing that he does in verse 23 is that he took the blind man and by the hand and led him. And I just want you to read your Bible as we go on, because this was a step-by-step procedure that the Lord used. And it is, you know, it has a meaning in everything. The Bible says that he took the blind man by the hand and he led him outside the village. Praise the name of the Lord. So Jesus Christ did not take the man. He did not tell the people, okay guys, because you have brought this man, I want you to hold his hand and I want you to take him out of the city. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ, filled with compassion, he took hold of the man's hand. And once he took hold of the man's hand, in the midst of so many people that were there, the Bible says that he took him and he led him out of the city. Praise the name of the Lord. And this is what the Lord wants to do in our lives. You know, many times we come to the Lord with specific things in our lives, with specific issues in our lives. And you know, many times when we come to the Lord, maybe the things that you're looking at could be maybe the immediate thing. Because many times when we're going through situations and circumstances, maybe I'm just looking as far as my bill. Maybe I'm looking as far as my children. Maybe I'm looking as far as the situation that is around me. I'm looking as far as my job. I'm looking as far as, you know, whatever is going on in your life. But when Jesus Christ looks, he looks as far as your life, and he sees, you know, he sees your future. He sees your destiny. He sees the plans that he has for you. And that is why Jesus Christ, you know, had to take him. He had to take this man from the hands of these people, you know, his friends, and he took him by the hand and he led him out of the city. Meaning, why did Jesus Christ, and I was asking God, Jesus, you know, I was asking the Lord, why did Jesus Christ take this man, you know, out of the city? In many miracles that we have seen, Jesus Christ literally healed at that particular time. You know, that was an immediate miracle. And many times when Jesus Christ performed a miracle, he did it right there and then. The only place that we see Jesus Christ, you know, healing somebody was in healing somebody and telling them to moving them out of that particular place was in a situation of a deaf and a mute man, where Jesus said, where the Bible says that Jesus Christ took him out of the crowd and he set him aside. And that is why when Jesus Christ performed the miracle, and I was asking Jesus, why didn't you perform that miracle in that city? Why didn't you just, you know, do that thing there so that people could see? Why didn't you just, you know, do whatever you had to do? He did. But God had a purpose. He had to take him out of the city. And many times when the Lord wants to do things in our lives, he has to take us out of the place where we are. I don't know what kind of village you are in. A village would represent anything in your life. A village would represent a situation that you're going through. A village would represent, you know, the friends that are holding you back. A village could represent circumstances that are holding you back. And when God, when Jesus Christ took hold of the hands of that man, we thank God because Jesus holds our hand. And when he holds our hand, he does not leave us the same. When he holds our hand, he changes our destiny. When he holds our hands, he changes our future. When he holds our hands, he transforms us. So we are, it's like, you know, the hand of this man came into the hands of the miracle worker. They came into the hands of the man who created him. They kick, you know, his hands, you know, are held. But the man who upheld his life, who upheld his destiny, who upheld his future. And the Bible says that we moved him out. Jesus Christ had to move him out so that he could see greater things. Jesus Christ had to move him out from the situations that were surrounding him so that he could show himself strong on his behalf. And many times God is calling us to move out of our situations. God is calling us to move out of our circumstances. God is calling us to move out of the places that have held us back. You know, many of us are held back by friends. Many of us are held back by our situations. But God is calling us out. The only way that we can receive our healing, the only way that we can receive transformation is if we allow God. Because this man had to allow God, to Jesus Christ, to take hold of his hand. He would have decided, okay, I have my friends around me, let them hold my hand. But he allowed Jesus Christ to hold his hands and lead him where he did not know where he was going. Because when Jesus Christ led him out of the city, you know, out of the village, he did not know where Jesus Christ was taking him because he was blind. But he allowed Jesus to take hold of his hand. And that is what Jesus Christ is telling us this day. He wants to take hold of our hands and lead us in paths of righteousness and lead us in paths that we have not known. And we cannot do that unless we allow Jesus to take hold of our hand. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. We thank God for his faithfulness. And the Bible says, you know, when he took hold of his hand, the Bible says that he brought him to a place of miracles. The Bible says that if we go to the next scripture, it says, when he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, you know, Jesus asked him, do you want to, you know, do you see anything? Again, when he had spit on the man's eyes, the miracle worker, the man who created him, when he had spit on the man's eyes, the creator of all things, and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, do you see anything? You know, when Jesus Christ used to ask anything like that, Jesus never used to ask a question without knowing the answer. And many times we'd see him asking so many questions. He would ask a mute man, do you want to walk? You know, he would ask a person, do you want to see? He would ask a person, do you want to walk? And many times, of course, when the person came to them, they came to them because they were desperate. But Jesus had to ask this question to provoke them and to know, and even to provoke them to know, you know, whether they want to this miracle or not. And Jesus Christ asked this man, what do you see? And I thank God because he didn't ask the question in the very beginning. And in this question that he asked, do you see anything? You know, the Lord was asking him, you know, it's like the God asking him, you know, how much more? It's like, how much more do you want of this? And the Bible says, you know, the Bible says that let's just continue. It says, he looked up and said, I see people and they look like trees walking around. And the Lord was putting it in my heart. You know, many times, so if we look at this story, the man would have decided, okay, at least I can see, I have a little bit of clear vision of what is going on around me. I have never seen trees. At least I can assume that I can see people looking like trees. And okay, Jesus, I'm satisfied with this. I am just going to let it go at that. But the Lord, when the Lord asked him that question and he responded, it means that he wanted a clearer vision of where he was going. And you know, the Lord is also asking us this day, what do you see? Do you see anything? You know, do you see anything? Are you content where you are? Are you content in that situation that you are? Are you content because when the Lord called you and he called you into salvation, you know, he touched your life, he saved you, he got you to a specific place, but where you are right now, are you content? Are you content staying there? Do you want to go further with him? Do you want to see more? Do you want to see clearer? Because this man had an option of saying, this is enough, Lord. I want to continue. You know, I want to go back to my village. But this man, you know, when Jesus Christ asked him, you he said, no, you know, I see people and they look like trees. And the Bible says when he said this, it showed that he needed a clearer vision. He needed to see further than that. And the Bible says that once more, Jesus put his hand on the man's eyes. Then his eyes, then the Bible says, if we can progressively look at this, the Bible says that once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then the Bible says, then his eyes were opened and his sight was restored. And he saw everything clearly. This was a progressive miracle. The Bible says that when Jesus Christ touched his eyes, again he said, his eyes were opened. Meaning that the time when he was seeing those trees, his eyes were not completely open. And the Bible says that his sight was restored. And the Bible says that then he saw everything clearly. And that is where God is calling us to today. He wants to restore our sight. He wants, you know, he wants to open our eyes. He wants our sight restored. He wants us to see everything clearly, so that we can know the heart of God, so that we can know the mind of God. The Bible says that the ways of the Lord, they are higher than our ways, that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And also there's a scripture that says that the Spirit of the living God, he reveals to us all things, even the deep things of God. But we have to allow the Lord to take over our lives. We have to allow the Lord to take preeminence in our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. We need to ask the Lord that we don't want to settle in the same place. We don't want to settle in a place where we cannot see clearly. We don't want to settle in a place where our vision is dim. Because if we settle in a place where our vision is dim, the Bible says that the enemy comes to steal, he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. And the enemy knows that the Lord has good plans for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and to give you a future. But you cannot experience that future. You cannot experience that destiny as long as your eyes are shut, as long as you have spiritual blindness. So the Lord is calling us out from spiritual blindness. He's calling us to see clearly, so that we can know the purpose of God, so that we can know the mind of God, so that we can know the things that the Lord has kept for us. But we cannot know them unless we ask the Lord to take hold of our lives, unless we allow the Lord to lead us out and to lead us out of that city, to lead us out of the familiar place, to lead us out of the places that we know. Because many times a familiar place, and we are reading about that in Bible study, in a familiar place, many times we want a familiar place. Because in a familiar place, you know, things are okay for us. Things, you know, things are working out for us. Our friends are working out for us. Our friends know us. Our friends know our in and out. You know, everything is lined up for us. And we know we come to the familiar day in and day out. And every time the familiar looks sweet, every time the familiar looks good for us. But who knows that God calls us into deeper places with him. And the places that God calls us into are places that we have never known. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, the things that the Lord has kept for us. But we have to align ourselves to what the Lord has for us. Praise the name of the Lord. Tell your neighbor, align yourself with what the Lord has for you. Praise the name of the Lord. Yes, the Lord has called us for a greater purpose, but he wants us to move. He wants us to move from the place that we are. Praise the name of the Lord. And you know, the first thing, you know, the Lord was reminding me that God works in our lives progressively. God works in our lives progressively. The miracle that we just saw was a progressive miracle. It was not an instant miracle. But the Bible, unlike the other miracles that he did, shows us that the Lord works in our lives progressively. But the Lord was telling me one thing. But the measure of our spiritual growth is determined by us. Praise the name of the Lord. How much are we willing to move from the place where we are? How much are we willing to step into our destiny? How hungry are we for the Lord? You know, many times we are caught up by the mundane. We are caught up by the usual things, and it is good. But you know what? If we stay there, then we are not going to see the faithfulness of the Lord. As we said, God has a greater future for us. God has greater purposes for us. And we cannot link up to the purposes of God unless we are submitted to him and unless we give ourselves totally to him. And you know, the Lord was telling him, they're telling me that the measure of our spiritual growth is determined by us. Our hunger, you know, our hunger for him, you know, our willingness to give up, our willingness to know him, our willingness to surrender is what makes us know, is what allows God to work in our lives, is what allows God to do things in our lives that we cannot fathom, you know, in the name of Jesus Christ. And that is what the Lord wants to do in us. Praise the name of the Lord. And as we continue, praise the Lord, we bless the name of the Lord. I just want to thank God. We bless the name of the Lord. You know, the Bible says in the book of John chapter 8 verse 36, when this man came to the Lord, the Bible says that so if the Son sets you free, he will free you and free you indeed. And this is exactly what happened to this man. When Jesus Christ, when the man brought him to Jesus Christ, again, they were only fathoming, and on the only thing that they could see was just a touch. But when Jesus Christ saw him, and when Jesus Christ pulled him out of that situation, and he healed him, and he touched him, and he restored him, the Bible says that he set him free, and he set him free indeed. And the most amazing thing, we can go to verse 26. The Bible says, Mark chapter 8 verse 26, that Jesus sent him home saying, don't even go into your village. You know, Jesus, that's what he said. Don't even go to your village. You know, many times when he read the scriptures, when the Lord healed a person, he told him, you know, go. He either told him, don't go tell people, you know, and people went and told them. Others, he told them, go and preach. Like the story we were reading with the women yesterday. He told them, go and preach, you know, go and tell other people what the Lord has done for you. But this one, he told him, don't even go into the village. Don't even step there. You know, if you're going to have to go around your home, around the neighborhood and get into your home, you have to do that because you cannot go back there. What does that mean? He told him, I don't want you to go back to the place where you are. You know, the Bible says in the book of, there is a scripture, that there is the scripture of the blind man. You remember the blind man scripture? I don't know where it is. If Lorraine, you can get it. Where the Lord healed a blind man. And when he healed the blind man, the Bible says that the blind man did not know who Jesus was. And when he met with Jesus Christ at a specific place at a certain corner, you know what Jesus Christ told him? He told him, do not do. What did he tell him? He told him, he sent him, and he told him, do not do what? Do not sin no more. He told him that now that you're healed, do not sin no more. And that is like what the Lord was telling this man. When he told him not to go back, that is John chapter 5 verse 14. Later Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. This was a different man. Stop sinning and or something worse may happen to you again. And I believe this is what the Lord wanted, you know, was trying to tell this man. You know, I have delivered you. I have set you free from where you are. You know, I have brought you out of the darkness from where you are. I don't want you to go back to the village, because this man would have been sent into the village to declare the good works of God. But when Jesus Christ looked at the village, you know, that maybe this was the place that was holding back this man. Maybe there were things in this village that were holding, you know, that were the cause or an effect of what was going on in his life. And he told him not to go back there. In the same way, the Lord has delivered us, as the Lord has brought us out, as the Lord has saved us, God is calling us out from these places. And when he calls us out of the place where we are, places of bondage, places where strongholds have held us, the Bible says that God calls us to get out, and he tells us not to go back to those places so that we can experience the fullness of God. There is a scripture in the book of Galatians chapter 5. Can you get me Galatians chapter 5? Galatians chapter 5. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Or if somebody has it, Galatians chapter 5 verse 1. And the Bible says that Christ has liberated us into freedom. Therefore stand firm and don't submit again to the yoke of slavery. Praise the name of the Lord. Christ has liberated you. He has liberated us into freedom. Therefore he says stand firm and don't submit yourself to the yoke of slavery. Because if you submit yourself to the yoke of slavery, then you won't see the purpose of God. Then the purposes of God will not be established in your life. But the Lord has set you free. And he says that him that the Son sets free is free, and is free indeed. So I'm going to ask you this question today as we wind up. You know, what is the cry of your heart today? You know, what do you want the Lord to do for you today? Are you crying out to the Lord? And I pray this day also that you may cry out to the Lord to open up your eyes. Because when the spiritual eyes are opened up, you see greater things. Your destiny is opened up. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians that the Lord may open up the eyes of your understanding. The eyes of your understanding, that you may know. I'm sorry, the scriptures are coming, but I don't know what. That you may know the hope that you have been called to. The only way that you can know the hope to which you have been called to is your eyes of understanding to be opened. And the Bible says, there's also a scripture that says that, you know, may the Lord God of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you in your innermost being, you know, through his spirit, so that you may live a life, you know, that you may live a life that is what? That is, can you let me have that verse? You know, let the eyes of your heart be enlightened. Yes, so that you may know what the hope of your calling is. And also so that the Lord may strengthen you with through His Spirit in your innermost being. The only way that we can know the purposes of God is for us to allow the Spirit of the living God to work in our lives, to take preeminence in our lives. So I'm just asking you a simple question today. What do you want the Lord to do for you today? You know, purpose to be like this man, this blind man who came, who was brought into the hands of God, into the place where Jesus was. Purpose to take hold of the hand of Jesus and not let go of His hand. Because if you take hold of the hand of Jesus, He will take you places that you have never known. He will carry you through situations. He will carry you through circumstances. He will open up your eyes to see your destiny, to see your purpose, to know the things that the Lord has kept for you. Praise the name of the Lord. And the Lord is asking us, just like He asked that man, you know, how much, you know, what do you see? What do you see this day? Are you seeing your situations? Are the only things that you're seeing around you your circumstances? Are the only things that you're seeing around you, you know, the things that are hitting you back? But the Lord is asking you, you know, He wants to touch you again, like He touched this blind man. He wants to give you clarity of vision. He wants to open up your mind that you got your eyes, and also open up your mind that you may understand the things that He has kept for you. Praise the name of the Lord. Why don't we just rise up in the presence of the Lord? Praise the name of the Lord. Let's ask the Lord to remove every spiritual blindness, caused by sin, caused by Satan, caused by a callous heart. Let us tell the Lord to make us, to mold us, to fill us, to make us what He has called us to be. Praise the name of the Lord. Why don't you just lift up your hands in the presence of the Lord? Surrender before Him and tell Him to have your way in your life. Have your way in every area of your life. Tell Him to make you, to mold you, to fill you afresh in the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord, you know, the reason that the Lord came, the Bible says that the Lord, you know, He came to set the captives free, that Jesus Christ was made manifest to destroy every work of the enemy. That is why Jesus Christ came, to destroy every work of the enemy. So whatever bondage that you may be going through, whatever setback that you may be going through, the Lord wants you to take hold of His hand, you know, for every burden to be lifted up, every yoke to be lifted up, every stronghold to be broken in the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord's purpose is to set you free, and to set you free indeed, so that you may walk fully in His purpose, so that you may be all that you have called Him to be, all He has called you to be, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says that He has got a great future for you. He has got a great destiny for you. Refuse to be limited by your situation. Because this blind man, he refused to be limited by his situation. He refused to be limited by his circumstances. He refused to stay where he is. But he purposed to take hold of the hand of God. He purposed to take hold of the hand of Jesus Christ and rise up from his situation. And the Bible says that Jesus did not leave him the same, but He fully transformed him. He brought wholeness in his body. He brought wholeness to him and transformed his life. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Just one more time. Why don't you just release yourself to God? We bless you, Abba Father. We honor you, O God. We give you the praise. We give you the honor, Abba Father, because we know that you have good plans for us, O God. Plans to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us a hope and to give us a future, O God. We surrender our lives unto you, O God. We surrender our hearts unto you, Abba Father. We surrender our lives, our futures unto you, O God. We surrender every weight unto you, O God of glory. Mighty God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we refuse to walk in spiritual blindness, Abba Father. We refuse to walk in bondage in the name of Jesus, because the Bible says that him that the Son sets free is free, and is free indeed. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, open up our eyes, O God. Open up our understanding, O God of glory. Father, delink us, O God, from everything that holds us back, O God of glory, from those setbacks, O God, from those things, my God of glory, that hold us from our destinies, O God. We want to move on, O God. My God, is individuals, Abba Father, and as a church, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, delink us, O God of glory, in the name of Jesus Christ. And right now, my God, by the authority that you've given us, you are declared the King of glory, that you've given us authority over every part of the enemy, O God. My God, in the name of Jesus, we bind everyone, the enemy, everything that holds back, everything that weighs us down, we bind it in the mighty name of Jesus. We pull it down, O God of glory, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We declare freedom, O God. We declare liberty, Abba Father. We declare victory, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Have your way, Abba Father. Take preeminence, O God. We surrender to you, Jesus. We surrender to you, Abba Father. We surrender to you, Holy Spirit of the living God. We surrender all that we are to you, King of glory. We bless you and we honor you, O God, for it is in Jesus' name do we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord.